Is it a dumb game, or am I just dumb? Dumb.
What's dropping?
If you are looking for relevant gaming coverage from experts, you are not getting it on this show.
This is week two in the standoff between Super Dumb Games and the Idaho Gun Jockeys. I'm reporting to you from a top secret bunker buried deep within the salt mines beneath Detroit. Oh, fuck. I just gave away our position. All right, it's not top secret anymore, but by the time you hear this broadcast, guess what? We will have already moved, okay? Our elaborate network of supporters have set up an underground railroad of sorts, and they have ensured that each checkpoint along the way has plenty of dumb games to satisfy and satiate our thirsts. I've personally spoken with Special Agent Tubman, the assistant leader of this underground, and she assures me that, they have enough supplies along this route to hold out for as long as the Idaho Gun Jockeys hold on to my co-host, Tanner, because as we all know, he's a hostage. And on that front, I'm sorry to report that we've made little headway in securing the release of Tanner. They did send us a video of him telling us he was all right. He looked gaunt, stricken with fear, but he claims that he's getting 3 squares a day and a Yoo-Hoo each night before bed. It also would appear that the IGJ has been... Excuse me, I'm getting a little choked up. It also would appear that the IGJ has been kind enough to hook Tanner up to a self-sucking pocket. This isn't funny. A self-sucking pocket pussy. All right, listen, and to be honest, there was a look of anguish and fatigue on his face that I can't seem to shake from my mind. You know, it was like the thousand-yard stare of someone whose dick is... whose dick has been sucked for hours on end against his will. My concern is that they're milking him too greedily. Sometimes with tragedy, you have to put on a happy face, so that's what I'm doing right now, ladies and gentlemen. And to what nefarious end this milking process serves, I do not know. Perhaps they think sucking the life force from this once great podcaster will somehow imbue their gang with a kind of essence that we all know only Tanner has, and of which we all also know can only be extracted through his penis. On early Wednesday morning this week, during a highly classified meeting here at Super Dumb Games' makeshift salt mine HQ, Bill the intern declared to the cave masters, which, of course, consisted of me sitting on an overturned minecart, which is my makeshift throne, to my left, the commissioner of all podcasts, and to my right, friend of the show slash interim co-host Casey. But Bill declared that he felt as though we had enough intel as to Tanner's specific whereabouts to act on a rescue operation, which by Democratic vote and subsequent runoff elections, it took like 5, we finally codenamed Operation T-Bird. And Bill stormed out of the room, armed only with pepper spray and some homemade chainmail. He screamed that he was going to storm the IGJ's hideout with or without our help, but we voted 3-1 not to help Bill. So off he went. The problem being, I think he mistook the map on the ground for a map that showed Tanner's coordinates, but really it was just something I doodled while I was taking a shit. You know, sometimes I like to draw Dungeons and Dragons maps while I poop, so like it relaxes me. And he grabbed that map, set out on his own covert mission, only to be captured, of course, by IGJ operatives outside Boise. How my map even led him to Boise, God only knows. I'll say one thing for Bill. For as big of a fuck-up as he can be sometimes, he can also be pretty resourceful. Well, apparently Bill had been running his mouth off during a game of snooker with the local hothead, and he didn't take too kindly to Bill's brazen attitude. Bill took a few punches to the jaw, and within minutes, the IGJ was tipped off to Bill's mission. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to report that a second hostage has been taken. Bill, if you're listening, and I know you are, we won't be coming for you. You're likely going to be killed, it's going to be scary and painful, and I can't imagine you'll face it very bravely given your disposition. But that was really stupid of you to mistake that doodle. Nothing remotely close to that landmass exists on this planet. I called it Gorthia. It was labeled Gorthia. There was a haunted forest, there was a mountains in the north, green plains to the south, and a capital city named Gorthiax. How you thought that lead you to Boise is beyond me, but goddammit, you did it. Unfortunately, you're in a cell, possibly being milked. Depends on if your life force is worth milking, I'm not sure. So, here I sit, ladies and gentlemen, huddled in a damp mine, waiting for the coordinates of our next spider hole to arrive through the underground. But in the meantime, I have an obligation to you, our loyal listeners, and I'll be damned if I'm not delivering a podcast today. I'm Chris, and this is my journey. Sitting with me today is none other than last week's co-host, Casey. Casey, what do you think of the salt mine we're in?
Roomy.
That's true. It is quite spacious down here. Little known fact about the Detroit salt mines, Detroit will one day collapse due to the sheer weight of the skyscrapers on the city foundation into the salt mines below. But the upside of that is you can lick the walls and they're salty.
It's like a deer lick.
Exactly.
It's like a giant deer lick. I enjoy living here.
So Casey, you know the show's formula by now.
Yep, poop.
I can't dwell too much on, you know, like right now I imagine Tanner's getting his nightly Yoo-Hoo, and I don't really want to think about it because Yoo-Hoo tastes like butt.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, I figured out the formula to Yoo-Hoo. It's a cup of cold water and 3 Swiss Miss packages, no marshmallows. That's it.
Swiss Miss light. Yeah. Just to add insult to injury.
So poor guys. He's strong. He's strong. Not that strong, but he's pretty strong.
He'll handle it.
Yeah.
Listen, if I can make one plea to the IGJ, it's that could you please switch the Yoo-Hoo to possibly some 16-year-old Surge? I think he'd enjoy that more.
I do remember him being a fan of Smilk, the colored milk.
Is that racist? What is that?
No, I think it's a purple milk, man.
Oh.
It's Smilk. I remember him being a fan of that.
Do you remember Jolt?
Oh, yeah.
Where you could get, like, your caffeine fix?
Yeah, it was just caffeine water, wasn't it?
That's all it was. It was black caffeine tar water. That's all you were drinking. Well, like I said, you know the show's formula. I got stuff to bitch about. We'll talk about Tanner at some later date, possibly next week's episode when he'll most likely still be gone. Because I actually know his real life schedule. So, I've got something that's pissing me off. I got an email today in the old work inbox. And it declared that a man who I had worked with possibly 6 years ago, maybe longer, I don't know, has died. Now, this man only retired 4 years ago. He died after like 37 years of government service and 4 years of retirement. Mm-hmm. What I'm pissed about is I hate this mentality that, at least at my work, it's all pervasive, that like it's a good thing to work beyond your expiration date.
Oh, yeah.
It's somehow noble for you to continue festering in a chair, taking up space, doing nothing. Listen, you fucking geezer, hurry up and die already. So we can put a kid who's virile and has spunk and ideas.
At half the price, too.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true. I mean, that's the reality, though, of global economy, Casey. We all have to live that reality. There's no way we can change that reality. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We have to live with the consequences of a fabricated thing. Anyway, my point being, I got really upset inside because it reminded me of my first team leader that I worked with. When I started with my job, she was already like 6 years into what could have been her retirement. Like she had stayed on for an additional 6 years. It was her 36th year of government service, and yet she still clung on. And then like 3 years later, while she's still working, her husband died. And then after he died, I guess in a way, like, then what else is there? I guess I'll go to work because my husband's dead. But guess what? You should have been with your husband those last 3 years. there is a chance she could have killed him earlier because she's a nag or something like that. That's how women usually are. But
just nag you to death.
Yeah, but there's a chance, too, that it could have quickened him and, he wouldn't have died so quickly. I don't know. But then, when she finally retired, it was 2012. She retired in June of 2012, and then I got the same type of email in October of 2012. She had retired and enjoyed the end of her life for all of, 3.5 months.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah. I'm looking at it like this. Like, I'll give 30 years tops to a company or whatever. Tops. And then after that, I go freelance. Does this culture exist in education? I'm trying to figure out if this if this is just one of those things where it comes from this place of hubris that I know a lot of government workers have, and it pisses me off because they're the worst. Like, they're all Republican and stupid, and if you're tuning out right now, good. I didn't want you here anyway.
Get out of here.
But like, that, you know, so for them it's like, I work. That's what I do. There's even people who have said if they won the big game or Mega Millions or whatever you call it, that they would continue to work so they could hit the 30-year mark because they're like 6 months away or some shit. And I'm like, you're a dumb motherfucker.
Some sort of pride, huh?
Yeah. So does that pride exist where you work?
Yeah. You know, in education, it definitely does. But it's a little bit different because ultimately, I believe what a lot of people believe is that what teachers are doing is ultimately a good thing. Mm-hmm. So if you can make it 30 plus years, and here's the key, and you're an effective teacher for those 30 plus years, then you should be proud of that, and people will be happy for you.
Sure.
A lot of times what happens, though, is teachers will hit that 30-year mark and keep going, and they're not at all effective anymore.
Right, yeah.
Especially in this day and age. We touched on it quite a bit last week with technology being so persuasive now in education.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people that started teaching in the 80s, early 80s or 70s, they're, for the most part, you know, old people, they're not into the technology.
Yeah, gadgets are befuddling to
them. So a lot of times they're not very persuasive or effective teachers anymore. And, you know, a lot of times they're just kind of waiting for them to retire. For instance, there's a teacher at my girlfriend's high school who's been there for 30 plus years, and I guess I'd have never met him. Nice enough guy, decent enough teacher, not great though. And it's one of those things, I think it's more out of politeness that they don't just say, you're done. They just keep letting him come back, kind of hoping he'll retire. And so a couple of years ago, they got a new football stadium and they named the field after him.
Wow.
You know, if somebody names a field after you and you're not dead, that's usually like a sign like, hey, great job, now enjoy your retirement.
You know what's funny is, and I know Tanner will know what I'm talking about because he saw this man, this corpse of a human being walking around at my work. This guy began his government service like the day after it was, V-Day or whatever they call it, World War II ended.
Yeah.
So he began working for the government, and he didn't retire until like last year.
Jeez.
So he celebrated like 70 some years of government service, which was the longest possibly in all of civil service history. And he had had an entire conference room named after him 20 years prior to his retirement. Now, when you watch this man lurch down the halls like The Walking Dead, I mean, he was hunched over at a 90 degree angle. You could only hope his eyes could raise enough to see slightly in front of him, because he was going to crotch ram you with his skull. And if that happened, his skull is probably by now, you know, it's no longer made of fully formed bone. It's degenerated into jello, I'm sure. So it would just splash, like, kersplash onto your crotch.
Yeah, it could be like a fleshlight, though. it might have similar.
Are you proposing that? The scenario
I'm just asking the questions.
Are you proposing the scenario is thus? I'm walking down the hall, minding my own. It's 10 a.m. on a Thursday, and this guy bumps into my crotch. And when he does, I become suddenly aroused and then begin to skull fuck him in the middle of my workplace.
No, I would assume that you're already aroused. For the scenario to be actually possible.
Gotcha, okay.
And I'm not saying because of him. Like, maybe you're thinking about a hot night of premarital sex a couple days ago or something. You know how that happens from time to time.
I don't think of premarital sex, honestly. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's post-divorce sex that I'm into.
There it is.
It's dirty.
Yeah.
Hey, you had something you wanted to rant about. It was based on some stuff that happened last night, I think.
Huh?
I don't
know. No, that was all you, man.
Well, that was my way of trying to tell you, tell the story so I can get pissed about something other than geezers' heads becoming fleshlights.
Because I made a point not to get worked up about this. So one of Chris's and I's favorite pastimes, throwing the football around, skateboarding around my mom's house.
Sure.
Going on Justin TV, trolling the girls that want attention. We give them exactly what they want as attention, but we give them the bad sort of attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we go on, we find a prime candidate last night after we stop into Walt's room, say hello, cordially ask how he's doing, one of our favorite casters online.
He's the best.
Yeah, make sure you link that in the description. He needs some more viewers.
All right, I will.
And we're being serious. Don't troll this guy. He's a good dude.
Yeah, no, he's just he's like an old guy.
Real American.
Who's hanging out. And he's actually very progressive in his thinking. You would imagine he's true. This hick who hates, you know, black people and hates gays. He's not. He's like a normal, he's a regular human being.
Yeah, I do remember we asked him, because I remember when we first started, like, when we first found him, we were going to start trolling him.
Yeah.
And I think we said something about the president being black or something like that, just trying to get a rise out of him. And he said something, well, I may not agree with him, but he's the president. So,
yeah,
you know, taking that old school sort of stance to it. But anyway, we leave Walt's room, wish him a good night. We find some girl. We watch her for a while. You know, she's not doing anything special. I think she's singing songs.
Yeah, we study our prey before
pounce.
I should mention too, Tanner does not partake in this. I've tried to get him involved in this trolling exercise that we do, and you know, you and I are masters at it, but he truly is an apprentice and does not want to. He does not want to become a Sith Lord of trolling like
you know,
us.
With great power comes great responsibility. You know, you know how it is.
It's true, yeah.
So I don't even remember. You know, we start trolling with the normal stuff. You know, I want to smell your farts. how many fingers can you fit inside you? Just nothing's really getting a rise out of her. But we find out she's really fucking stupid. Really quickly, she's at that point in her life where she just realized. Or I don't know if that's the right way to put it.
She thinks she's unearthing new evidence that can easily be debunked about things in life. Like, we've already passed that phase where, you know, what if Kennedy wasn't shot by Oswald? Or whatever it is. Like, whatever conspiracy theory. And she was, like, drinking the Kool-Aid about 9/11 conspiracy theory. She was saying how the army is deploying weapon systems in her town, and I had to.
That's when you got fired up.
Well, because I had to inform her that, you know, there are a finite amount of systems, and, you know, most of them are diverted straight to Afghanistan or Korea. I do not believe the American government ever once said, like, we need to deploy to Gary, Indiana. Make sure we get a few Abrams over there, all right?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of where it went. You got really fired up, and you debate. You did. There was at least two instances where I saw her brain breaking. Right? You said something, and it didn't fall into lines with what she's been really reading on the blogs, and she clearly had no answer for it. And then it was great because this is how she's convinced herself that she's right. You would bring up something like you just said about how there's no way they're going to anywhere civilians. They're going to nothing but government institutions, and you would see her think about it, and she'd be, well. You know, I got to do a little bit more research. But the thing is, there's love everywhere, you guys. And she'd look right into the camera. And, like, I believe it so much that everybody is so special. And she'd go off into these tirades. And that's when I stopped and I started listening to No Doubt on YouTube, kind of rehashing the past a little bit there.
I just wanted to mention, this is Super Dumb Games Podcast episode 24. Casey. What have you been playing this week?
This week, besides playing Justin TV trolling,
right.
I have been playing Kerbal Space Program.
Made
good on my effort last week to say that it was in the shelf but not gone forever, and got into it this week with the new new career mode. Seems like a similar game. I haven't delved into it too far to see if there's been a huge amount of actual equipment that you can put onto your spaceship that's been added. But the career mode is a fantastic way to actually start playing the game, because when I got this game in alpha past summer, it was just a sandbox mode, so you could build whatever the hell you wanted. But it was so, I mean, you were literally building spaceships, and
you know, I got a C minus in biology 101 in college. I think I mentioned that last week, and it's, you got to remember that. So I don't have any knowledge of how you would build a spaceship.
Sure. And so biology informs your ability to be good at physics.
Well, okay, I should restate that. The only science class I took in college, I got a C minus.
That frames it entirely different.
Right. So if you wanted to play that game when it first came out in alpha, there was no tutorials involved. And I'm positive my brother, he bought it as well and quit after 2 minutes because the learning curve is incredibly steep. And so you actually had to go online and watch YouTube videos or read a subreddit or whatever to kind of get an idea of what to do. And now with the career mode, you start kind of at the beginning of the space age where you've got a kind of a shitty rocket, a small fuel tank, a one-man like lunar module, and then a parachute. Hmm. And so you blast it up into space. And while you're up there, you can take crew reports. And those are where the real charm of the game comes in. And you'll take a little crew report once you're like 200 feet above the ground in the air. And your little Kerbal guy, you know, he'll write something pretty funny. He'll say something, hey, I can see my house from here. And so then you'll get science points for those, the research points. And that's how you can research and get better equipment. It's like a skill tree, like a tech tree.
Okay.
That's a fantastic way to actually play the game because you're not thrown with 50 different parts that you can put on a spaceship. You're thrown with 10, work with those, get better at it, and then buy another 3 in the next skill tree.
See, that makes sense to me. That's the kind of stuff they need. Like that. I like linear progression mm-hmm. in games. I mean, that's the way most role-playing games work, too. You start with nothing, and you end up with everything. You know,
and by the end, you know it all.
Yeah, but that's the whole point, is that it teaches you as you go. Now, with Kerbal, it would be interesting if they gave you options. I don't know if they do this yet, but it would be interesting if they gave you these options where you could do two different types of propulsion systems, and it's up to you which way you go, and that could influence the future of your technology.
There is a space-playing hangar you can research into. So you're actually making space shuttles.
Okay.
Instead of actual... I mean, so right now where I'm at in the game, I'm the Gemini missions. I'm the Apollo missions.
Oh.
So I shoot straight up, and then I jettison those rockets because they're out of fuel, and then I keep going up.
Nice.
And then I jettison those. Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I've learned a lot about space because of it. And, you know, so if you're not into learning, you know, it's not the game for you.
Given the demographic that listens to this podcast, which is just me and you,
we're okay. I'll definitely love hearing about this game
next week when we talk about it again. Oh boy.
So, yeah, it's a fantastic little game. And, you know, it's really relaxing because it's not a high action game. You spend your time building and designing your spaceship, and that's fun. It's frustrating at times because the controls and the UI aren't perfect. Yeah, it's still an alpha. You got to kind of remember that.
Good. You know, I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to when they transition the game to become one where, and I think you and I have talked about this, but so you're doing these Gemini missions, and you're actually, you know, you're just trying to escape the gravity of Kerbal mm-hmm. or whatever the name of the planet is. But I'm looking forward to when you get to your first moon and you set up a base. And from that base, you do more science. And with that science, you build better boosters. And that takes you to the next place. And as you leapfrog across the galaxy, you get better. And maybe there's missions and you discover, I don't know, you discover other people. Maybe they could implement some kind of an online component eventually where, you know, you can somehow meet up with other people. That would actually take a lot of work on their part.
You know,
money. But
I haven't looked into it in a while since the summer, but I remember they were planning some sort of they were at least exploring some sort of online play. They weren't quite sure how it was going to work because the reality is the game is in real time. So when you shoot and when you're orbiting a planet, like it's going as fast as I guess you would in real life.
Oh.
And so unless you want to orbit the planet for 7 real life days before you get to the point where you can shoot off, you have to use a time increase button.
Okay.
And so the big concern was, well, if you and I are playing online on some galaxy together, if I'm orbiting the moon and I want to come back, so I want to, you know, speed up my orbit, if I turn the speed up to times 1,000, what's that going to do to you?
I think that's actually, that would be an amazing game mechanic to put into play, because then all of a sudden you're mid-play,
right,
and you're like, what the shit happened? Like, everything's speeding up 15 times. It's because the other player is trying their best to fuck with you.
That would definitely be good. But there's a lot to be excited about the game. And I just saw today, I was going through some of the research stuff, and it looks like there's different biomes in each planet.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, when I first landed on a different planet back in the summer, it was, you just landed on the planet and it was just a texture. I mean, it's just a blank texture. That's all it was at the time, with some craters. And it was cool to look around, but that was all you could do. And so now I'm guessing that you can land, you know, on a different planet and you might be at like the polar ice caps.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I haven't explored that far, but they definitely had biomes in there, which is exciting.
I think the thing to take away from this is if Kerbal isn't the game to do it, it's at least laying the foundation for a future game, some game down the line that will take Kerbal's design and run with it and possibly make a really great space exploration game that taps into those qualities of almost like a Minecraft quality. And then, you know, you get to this planet with this completely different biome. You maybe have to create your base based on the resources available on that planet, which might fundamentally alter the way in which you leave the atmosphere of that planet if you're stuck there or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I've seen some of that. And I think I'm pretty positive it was different people with mods that people had developed, which I guess kind of like Minecraft could extend the life or expand the playability of the game. But I'd seen people, they'd orbit a different planet and they'd do it a couple times. And as they were doing it, they were taking like satellite imagery of the planet, looking for, like, I'm guessing like some sort of Vespian gas, like in StarCraft or something, but something to mine so that they would know they would land there, mine this gas or whatever, so they could have fuel to make their space station out there, or to get them back to another planet or whatever.
See, and it would be exciting if as you're orbiting and you're surveying the surface of the planet, if it has, instead of Vespian gas, it has, you know, like fart gas. Sorry, that was a stupid cheap joke. But it has a different gas that could possibly be better than Vespian, let's say. Right. So, like, you want to land on that planet immediately, set up shop, and start tooling around, so that you get a better space program from that planet. I don't know. Yeah. I think that'd be incredible. Well, this week I played 3 games.
What?
I'm out of control, dude.
That's a record.
It is. It helped that we had a major snowstorm, and on Wednesday I did not have to go to work, which was awesome. So I got a lot of work done on the gaming front. The first game I want to talk about actually is, I think Tanner actually mentioned this briefly in an earlier episode. I gave Hearthstone, however you want to say it, a shot. And I did this because, as I said last week, I installed Battle.net. And when you do that, Battle.net pulls up the available games that you might own. So I could try to re-log into World of Warcraft if I wanted to. I could play StarCraft 2. I could play Hearthstone, or I could play Diablo 3. So I decided to give Hearthstone a shot. It's a free-to-play beta. It's open to everyone. It's a card game. It's like playing, I don't know, I never played Magic the Gathering, but I imagine
Yes, you did.
I didn't. I have no idea how to play that game. But it's very simple. You draw from a deck. You get buffs or whatever. You do whatever the card says. Mm-hmm. And you're playing against an opponent, and they get to lay down their deck. And so you're facing off, trying to put down as many of your guys as possible. Let's say you draw a Gadget Stan Auctioneer or a Grimscale Oracle or whatever it is. You know, you throw that down, and then it has some cards can react right away and do damage to either a card that's been laid down by your foe or to the foe itself, because the ultimate goal is to defeat your foe who has X amount of hit points based on their level. But each card has their own hit points too, and so you just try to go through it and defeat these opponents. What I found unfortunate about the game is I got to, I think it was Illidan's Storm Rage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So I got to him and I lost, and I know why I lost, but here's the key to this. There was no replayability. I knew why I lost. And then I thought to myself, do I really want to, like, play the deck again and do it the right way? Nah, I'm done. And that was the final boss before I think you maybe go into the actual open beta to play against players.
Oh.
So maybe I'm selling it short. I don't know. But in my experience, even the tutorial phase, because I lost on the final tutorial, I was like, fuck it. I'm done. I don't want to replay Illidan Storm Rage or whatever. So Hearthstone, 5 out of 5 stars for me.
Anyway, what else you been playing?
All right, the second game I've been playing is this game called Civ Clicker. And you had a name for these games. What are they called? Click games? What do you call that?
Idle games.
Idle games. Okay, so Civ Clicker is a game where basically you become the manager of what begins as a thorp, then becomes a hamlet, a village, a small town, large town, small city, so on and so on until you become an empire. The idea behind it, though, is that you create workers to gather food, cut wood, mine stone, all this other stuff. And as you do that, you're able to upgrade your city. So you purchase upgrades. Then you acquire a blacksmith. And the blacksmith converts the ore that your workers who are mining stone, he converts that to metal. And then you build a tannery. And the person who that you employ there converts skins into leather. And the leather goes toward your soldiers and all this other shit. Until finally, you reach the end game, which is you sit there and, as an empire, do nothing. Here's the thing about this game. I actually encourage people to just give it a shot because I played this game. I've had it running. It's still on in the background on my PC, although I'm going to quit soon because I'm done. I've achieved an empire. But I challenge anyone to not get addicted to this. Keep in mind, this is not a game where you see visibly how your city is growing. This is all text-based. So you see your current population. But it's just, you know, it's just numbers. And you see how much food you can create, but it's just numbers. And you see how much leather and herbs you have and all this other shit. It's all just numbers. But it gets addictive as fuck as you're just on a quest to make the biggest city. And then, you know, one of the issues becomes land space. So as you build, you need more land. In order to acquire more land, you have to raid. Now, this game does not incorporate PvP kind of raiding. You just raid a certain size town based on your size and based on the size of your army. And then you acquire land and then eventually, you know, your people become happier because of it and stuff like that. But I've gotten all but, it looks like 8 achievements in the game. The only way to get the other 8 achievements would be to actually reset the game and then play it again. I guess that brings in more upgrades. I think this is actually one of the better click-to-play games. There's a game, I don't even get it. People extol the virtues of this game where you you eat candy. Have you tried that game? All it is
that cookie clicker?
Yeah, seconds count by, and then you eat candy when you click to eat it. Isn't that the game?
I don't know. I haven't played that one.
Don't worry about it. Don't even try to. It is, like, literally, a counter is on the screen. And it goes like 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5. You click eat candy, and it says you ate 5 candy. Then it... I don't know what the fuck people are doing, but they always say it's amazing. Like, they're addicted to it.
Wow.
You must be the most bored motherfucker on the face of the earth. At least with Civ Clicker, there's a lot of micromanagement going on. And that
I'm playing it right now, and I've got a current population of 2 that's down from 7 where they all starved. You got to gather some food, apparently.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I played quite a few of these idle games or idle mind games. I'm not exactly sure what they're called, but yeah, this one's actually involved. There's a lot with it, which is nice.
And there is a learning curve because for a while, like, I was at 0 herbs. I had no idea how to get herbs at all. And then I realized it was intertwined with how much wood I was cutting because my woodcutters were discovering herbs. But it also had to do with I was trying to build a wonder of the world called the Cocktabulous Fuck.
Of course.
And what was wrong with that was I was putting too many... There's a balance you have to strike in the game between how many laborers are doing one thing and how much you're collecting of another. So, for instance, with skins are just going to keep coming in. But if you have too many tanners, then they're going to be converting the skins too quickly into leather. And then you can't trade for skins and you have too much. So it becomes a balancing act.
It's just,
that's
a micromanaging sort of thing.
Right. And I left it on overnight, and I thought I was safe by leaving like 25,000 soldiers. I woke up this morning to a raiding party of barbarians who had siege weapons, and they had killed like half my woodcutters. It was bullshit.
Jeez.
I immediately recruited, you know, like 50,000 soldiers and destroyed them. But that's what happens in this game. It's a wonderful game. It's a great way to pass the time. It's something that you can start tonight and that, or whatever time you're listening to this, start it now, come back to it 24 hours later and see where you're at and try that out.
Yeah. It seems pretty interesting. I played a couple of them the last couple of months. Dr. Meth was one of them. Mr. Mine. I just finished and played another one. I can't remember. It was some sort of mining game. Ultimately what it does for me, I like it at the beginning. It's fun. It's fun to, you know, sleep on it the first night and come back after 8 hours and see how much resources you've got or whatever.
Right.
But for me, within a couple of days usually, or sometimes even a day, you hit that point where nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're gaining all of the resources or whatever. But even after a whole night or even a full 24 hours, you don't have enough to buy the next upgrade. And that's when I usually close the tab because what more can you do? I don't want to leave this tab open for 3 days for the next one right. level upgrade.
Yeah.
But this one definitely, it seems like there's definitely like a strategy game in that they've got a lot more than the other ones. That's for sure.
And the upgrades, they come quite quickly, which helps with replayability. You know, you want to come back and check that tab of your browser to see like, can I get domestication by now or whatever? You know, you're always looking. All right. So
third game.
Final game I played this week. Last week I teased it, and in the way that I teased it was shitty because I said I didn't play it. I actually did play it this week. That game is Diablo 3. I want to say that I have enjoyed my time playing. I'm almost done with the first act of Diablo 3, but I have found that there is still fatigue in the game. There's a good balance in the characters. I find that this time around, I created a different character class than the last time I played, which is nice. It's nice to play that. But I'm kind of at a point where it's, you know, you're clicking and killing. Mm-hmm. And then you collect, and then you... If there's anything I could change, I don't know why anyone else hasn't brought this up. It's that, let's say I played and I ran from New Tristram, which is where you begin, all around the map. I ran everywhere. I uncovered the entire fog of war. If I come back into the game the next day, that fog of war is gone.
Yeah.
That pisses me off to no end. I do not want to re-uncover what the map looks like. I'm pissed when that happens. It does it to dungeons, too.
And that never happened in Diablo 1 and 2 when you could play offline.
Yeah.
I think that's purely an online...
It's very upsetting. So, I don't know. I played Diablo 3. I think I'm going to continue just to see more of the storyline. The storyline isn't as bad as I remembered it, so I'm okay with it. But what's lacking right now, you know, as much as I love playing games single player, what's lacking is that online multiplayer component. I don't have anyone to quest with and to maybe balance out my character when we're in a dungeon and I can't handle a mob or whatever. So, I don't know. Diablo 3 is an interesting game. Maybe I should mention this about Diablo 3 as we end this long-winded segment. But when I first bought the game, it wasn't just to play with you and your brother and my good friends. My brother had been bugging me for months that we needed to play games together. Now, keep in mind, he didn't join me during the World War II online craze that swept the gaming world in 2001. He certainly didn't become an ally in EverQuest 2 for the 2 weeks I played it. And he didn't even consider joining World of Warcraft, despite my protestations. And that's a game that I think I played that game possibly longer than any other game I've ever played in my life. In terms of,
I'd say so.
You know, so the window of opportunity for him to join in with gaming with me was there. So when Diablo 3 came out, I said, okay, this will be the game that we play together. We both bought the game, and within 3 weeks, like I said last week, I shelved the game, and the future of gaming with my brother looked bleak.
Yep.
There's a happier ending to this story, which I might touch on in the third segment of this show, but in the meantime, Casey, you have a brother.
I've been told, yes.
He has children.
I've heard that.
You don't acknowledge those children, though, as
no,
your niece.
They don't know me.
You guys, though, you did game together.
Oh, yeah, often. Yep.
So, fuck it. There is no second segment of the show. We're just
doing it. Just fucking do it, bro.
We're doing it. Third smegma of the show. I almost...
Oh, finally.
The third smegma. The third's always the worst, is what I've heard when you have foreskin.
Third is the turd. Second is the best.
And the third slash now second segment of the show, what I'd like to dive into is how gaming framed your relationship with your brother, perhaps even sometimes caused rifts between the two of you. In addition, consider also which games you both liked playing together, because sometimes co-op was a big deal when you, and if you were an only child with no friends, good luck.
That's on your parents for only having one kid.
Yeah, and your dad really should have filled in the role instead of being an alcoholic, I suppose. But think about what games he played that you thought sucked dick, and you were so pissed that he was hogging the system. And maybe we'll even touch on how you think you've evolved as a gamer living with another sibling who's a gamer. Because there's also people out there who have a sibling who beats the shit out of them every day because they're a nerd. And their sibling is a jock and, you know, that kind of thing. So I know it definitely framed my views of how I perceive myself as a gamer. And we'll get into that and much more. But first, no, there's no news.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Welcome to the first episode of Shooters, Guns, and Mains. Ladies and gentlemen, Idaho Gun Jockeys have arrived. We now have our own late night show. Of course, it's also... Thank you. Of course, it's also the only show whose host is paid in antibiotics and toilet paper. You know, I kid, but seriously, give it up for our wonderful warden, Brock Splash Damage, and our fearless leader, Colonel Todd Abortion. Two incredible leaders with names only an American gladiator could love, and the kind of sun-baked and equally muscly and fat bodies you'd see on deadbeat dads. Or landscapers. God, remember when we used to have landscaping and lawnmowers? We used to use lawnmowers for cutting grass instead of disposing of female children? Yeah, I said it, God damn it. We're here in a prison, people. It used to be a Pizza Hut. A wonderful place. Do you even remember it was called Pizza Hut? It was red on top. It was very distinguishable. You could see it from a fucking mile away. Have you lost your humanity? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Family, fun, food. God, I miss food. No joke there. I just miss food. And shoes. Remember when we all had shoes? It was incredible. Now I'm stuck here sleeping next to Tugboat and Handsome Ricky. And you know what, guys? I love you, but my stomach growls and I have to clench my eyes shut so I don't catch a glimpse of your goblin ass looking feet staring at me. You know what I also miss? A little podcast I used to do called Super Dumb Games. We used to I don't know. The thing is, it's been a while since I was on that show. God, it was fun. We'd talk about stuff that was dropping. Like Farm Machines Championships 2014, which came out March 14th, 2014, which is this year and was 2 days ago. It was developed by Playway SA and it was published by Playway SA. They're pulling double duty on this game. They were like, we're going to make this, and you know what? No one else wants to put it out, so we're going to publish it as well. People need to drive around Farm Machines and to somehow involve Farm Machines in some kind of competition that could be considered a championship of some sort. They've done it, everyone. Playway SA. Yeah, so on this podcast we used to make fun out of stuff like this line from the Farm Machines Championship 2014 release. Quote, are you the fastest, most accurate, and craziest farmer in the competition? End quote. Playway is asking you this. They're trying to tantalize you into playing this game. What I can't figure out is how being fast, accurate, and crazy have anything to do with farming. What's really interesting about this game as well is the controversy in the review section. We've got some amazing reviews. First of all, Avrius Cutler, he's got 13.9 hours on record in this game. He writes, I like that game and recommend it specifically for the youngest ones, but the olders can find here some challenges. Yeah, all you olders out there, this may be for the youngsters primarily, but olders can find some challenges. He continues, hard difficulty is demanding some tactics to win, and we need to polishing our machines to chave. Let me say that again, to chave, that's C-H-A-V-E, changes with opponents. I have no idea what he's saying here. We need to polishing our machines to chave changes with opponents. Chaving sounds like, it sounds like the first name of a guy that would be in Luke Skywalker's Rogue Squadron. Avrius continues, in my humble opinions, game performance is really good. You know, that's good to know. All achievements unlock. All missions on gold, smiley faced. Who's the best in the village? He ends with a question that leaves us all hanging, awaiting his answer. Really, Avrius is imploring us here to prove our worth, I guess. So there's a few other reviews here. Kitties and Bacon, not quite as sold as Avrius. Kitties and Bacon says, not recommended. He or she only logged 0.8 hours and says, definitely not great. So I'm assuming Kitties and Bacon had some high expectations here. Really feels like they took Farming Simulator 2014 and just dropped a few barrels in a map editor to make this. You know what, Kitties and Bacon? That's likely. I think that's having at least looked at a lot of these games, maybe not so much played them, but looked at them, it really does appear like that would be a sound strategy for them. Completely a bare minimum release, Kitties and Bacon continues, with carried over terrible physics from FS 2014 and no cool extras. No multiplayer question mark? Pick up Farm 2012 instead. 2 out of 5 Kitties and Bacon has spoken. Oh, thank you. Damn it, people. This has got me going now. You know what? We don't have to be in here anymore. God damn it. We can escape. We're not prisoners. We're men. We're women. The only prison is our mind. We're not gun jockeys. We're video game fans. We're not acid rain. We're dumb game lovers. We're Tito Mosquitoes. We're Major Nelsons. We're you and me. God damn it. We can get out of here. How exactly, I don't know. That's kind of the hard part, is the whole escaping from a totalitarian regime that has taken away our dignity, our health, our fucking shoes. Some of you even lost pumps. And they've got horses and we don't. So escaping would be great, but I'm going to need some suggestions as to how to do that. Hopefully, we'll figure something out, though. And next week, next Monday, I'll be back with my trusty co-host, Chris, and Super Dump Games will be returned to its former glory. Thank you for listening. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Go to www.superdumbgames.com. Subscribe to all relevant social links. We will see you next week!
Super dumb games.